I have to tell you, you know, apostles are the grace of society.
Yes. Yes.
They are. Okay. But we had to get some anointing in here.
Yeah.
Amen. Right?
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit comes where the blood of Jesus is applied.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Can you, can you tell?
Yes.
All right. So, I'm not a preacher, so you can say amen and do whatever you think you need to do to just keep it going. I'm really a teacher, and I kind of say this everywhere. I look a little funny sometimes. So Betty volunteered to make a PowerPoint so that if you get, you know, oh, don't go to sleep, but you can look at that. Okay. So, oh, closer. Oh.
Oh, we touched.
I'm kidding. This is truly a discipline. I think I'm going to have to need to practice this at home. I'm going to do this. This is truly fun. Okay. I can either see you or I can see what I'm supposed to say. Why is it written down? Because it has to be accurate with coming from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's why I'm, you know. All right, so let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we are and whom we serve. And we do thank you for the body and blood of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Lord God, because many of us here would be dead. We would be dead. And we know that.
Yes.
And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, we've been saved by your obedience, your righteous life in our place, God. And we thank you that, Holy Father, that Jesus was raised from the dead, demonstrating that you, Father God, received the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, by which we are accepted in the Beloved, justified in Christ alone. And we thank you, Lord God, for this. And we thank you, Lord. We ask now that your Holy Spirit would come as the Spirit of truth to guide us into the truth of your word, Lord. And that we could receive this message which you have told me to give.
Yeah.
And we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for Dr. Clanton.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find her, God. For Dr. Clanton, who knew, and the people that knew, that this message is to go out, not just locally, but around wherever you send me with this message. Opening the eyes of the blind. But today, we are calling it, the promised one has come. So we ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and to impress these words into our hearts and into our minds. We want you to open the eyes of the blind. In Jesus' name,
amen.
All right, today is December 8th, because this goes out. December 8th, 2019, and the title of this message is The Promised One Has Come. This is Christmas time. We will start with Christmas a little bit.
Okay.
The Jewish people had no word from a prophet for some 300 years, but they had prophecy of a promised Messiah going back to the beginning. God to the serpent in Genesis 3:15 is where it begins. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Those who believed that the living God would keep his promise and fulfill the prophecies look forward to a Messiah coming, a deliverer, a savior, the anointed one, the just one, the Christ.
Yes.
And then something amazing, something miraculous. One by one, those prophecies were coming to fulfillment. Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Mary had a visitation. Joseph had a dream. This child would be a son whose name was to be Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Mm-hmm.
He would be Emmanuel,
mm-hmm.
God with us.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. And John wrote this, in the beginning was the Word, and
was
the Word was with God.
Yeah.
And the Word was God.
Yes.
Yeah.
In him was life.
Life.
And the life was the light of men.
Well, then.
And the Word was made flesh.
Yeah.
And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory.
His glory.
The glory as of the only begotten of the Father.
Mm.
Full of grace and truth.
My Lord.
Now we're in the season of celebrating the birth of Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Well.
Jesus grew. Living the life of obedience and righteousness required by God, his Father.
Yes.
He died on the cross. He was buried and rose again the third day.
Mm-hmm.
The federal head of a new humanity. But he was despised and rejected of men who did not believe in him or believe him or believe what he believed.
All right.
And one such man was Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes, spelt it out there, Paul.
Oh.
All
right.
Saul of Tarsus, Pharisee of the Pharisees, was zealous to remove Christians and Christianity.
Yeah, yeah.
He's identified with a city on the southeastern tip of Asia Minor, close to Antioch and north of Jerusalem. His father was a Roman citizen and merchant. Saul was born free and a Roman citizen. Tarsus, we're talking about Saul of Tarsus, was on trade route, a wealthy cosmopolitan city with the largest university in the world at that time, bigger than Athens and Alexandria. Saul of Tarsus followed the tradition of learning a trade. The making, tent making was his trade.
Mm-hmm.
At age 13, he was sent to Jerusalem to study under Gamaliel.
My.
All right. Mm-hmm. Gamaliel was the leading theologian at that time.
Yes, yes.
He's still quoted and talked about. By around age 21, Saul had the reputation of being, he was 21, of being the most educated Jew in the region. He was well known around Jerusalem and present at the stoning of Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Not my Stephen. Saul's profound hostility would make him a terrorist. We would today he would be considered like a radical terrorist.
Yes, 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 yes.
Infamous. He was full of hatred against believers in Christ.
No.
He consented to the death of Stephen, and people had laid Stephen's clothes at his feet. In God's eyes, evil was being done. Saul did nothing to stop it. That is cowardice. Aiding and abetting in a capital crime. But Saul was blind to it. He didn't see it that way. He considered himself justified in what he was doing. Then, after seeking and receiving papers, he got papers authorizing him to go and find out and rout out the Christians in Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, he encountered the radiance of Christ's glory. A radiance that blinded him on the road to Damascus. He was blind to the truth of who Jesus is.
Amen.
Who Jesus was and is.
Amen.
Okay? And then on the road to Damascus, he encounters the radiance of the glory of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he's blinded physically. You put it together. He gives his testimony of this event three times in the book of Acts. So we're going to listen to it first from Acts 9:1-9. All right, what in the world does that have to do with Christmas time? And I need somebody to read Acts 9, verses 1 to 9. Build it out there.
And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shone around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
All right, now.
And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled, and at night astonished, saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do.
All right, today we're going to look into, and hopefully this will help you that are called to go to other nations or called to do whatever. We're going to look at the call and the commission and the commandments here and the promises or commitment of God. These are the four parts of every call. I don't go anywhere the missions that God has given me to do until I get all four elements. It's a pattern in the scripture. We're not talking about the pattern today, but it is a pattern. All four things have to be there. By the way, they're all in the Great Commission of Matthew 28. It is how God works. All right, so every believer can celebrate the coming of the Promised One by laying hold of truth revealed to Saul of Tarsus. In his call, commission, commandments from Jesus, and the promise to show him the just one. Let's all say the just one.
The just one.
All right. So first we have the call. The call was Saul. Saul. And we just listened to Acts 9 about it. Now, Saul encountering Jesus is intensely personal. It's very personal. Jesus knew who Saul is. He knew what Saul was going to be called to do. It's intensely personal. Jesus is alive. So in this call, the idea is to persecute Christians is to persecute Jesus. The reproaches that fall on us fall on Jesus Christ. It's intensely personal. Electing love and the grace of God can touch and transform even the chief of sinners. Because if you remember, Paul writes that he was the chief of sinners. So we're not the chief of sinners. No. The Word of God declares through Paul, speaking of himself, he is the chief of sinners. Next, we have the commission. The commission was this. Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. When his eyes were opened, he saw no one. So he's still not getting it. He opens his eyes, and he can't see anybody. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
He was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is the extreme fast.
Mm-hmm.
3 days and three nights. It's what happened in Nineveh when Jonah was sent to Nineveh. And the king of Nineveh fasted, and he, all the animals too. It was a stream and an extreme fast to avert the wrath of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, and here is more on the commission. I was blind, but now I see. Jesus is the light shining into the darkness. It is time to arise and go. God is a God who sends people.
Yes.
The Father sent the Son. The Son sent the disciples, and at that point they became apostles.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Holy Spirit started sending, and they're apostles, more like missionaries. Apostles today are like apostles with a little a, really. They're sent on a mission with a message.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, I'm just the messenger, and this is the message. Okay? So, for 3 days, blind, Saul neither ate nor drank. He was blinded, hungry, and thirsty. He was in the dark, humble. Blindness would disqualify him from the synagogue. From Leviticus 21, verse 18. That's just one of the verses. Blindness disqualified him. Oh my goodness, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to do? What's going to happen to him? He will call himself the chief of sinners, but the testimony of God's grace and electing love is not over. Ananias, the devout man, was sent to Saul, who was also given by Jesus, that Ananias would come and put his hand on him, on Saul, that he might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Ananias called Saul brother. Saul, who will be known as Paul, was healed within the hour.
Ooh, yeah.
He got up and was baptized. But the Lord said to him, Ananias, go. Because Ananias got to go in there. Go, go and do this.
Mm-hmm.
Go, for he, talking about Saul of Tarsus,
mm-hmm.
for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.
Yeah.
Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. To hear the voice of his mouth. Who is the voice of the Almighty? Holy Spirit.
Yes, Spirit.
For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
All right. Now we want to look at the commandments. Are we good to go?
Yes.
The commandments. Receive sight. Be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord.
Well.
Be the chosen vessel of Christ as he has declared you to be, his instrument, his implement, his, like his tool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Except I tend to talk about the little tool of the devil and the instrument of God. But we are available to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
All right. Bear the name of Jesus before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Know the will of God, the God of our fathers, who has chosen you, see the just one, hear the voice of his mouth, be Jesus' witness to all people of what you, Paul, have seen and heard. Open the eyes of Jews and Gentiles that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is Jesus speaking.
Yes.
Now this is quite a lot of commandments here. This is what I would call Paul's assignment that God is giving him. He's sending him out, and he has an assignment, and he is to do it by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, just as it came from Jesus, from the Godhead. It has to be right.
Yes.
Be obedient to the call and commission and the commandments of your mission, to the voice of God's mouth. Be obedient. And this is why I personally encourage people, write it down. Whenever you think and believe you're hearing from the Holy Spirit or the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, write it down. It has to line up with the written word of God.
Yes.
You should be able to, I happen to use a yellow pad, like a legal pad, yellow legal pad. You should be able to put scriptures all in the left-hand column, because what you hear from the Holy Spirit or Jesus or God the Father never contradicts the written word of God.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And if it does, get rid of the whole thing.
Amen.
Get rid of it. I don't know where it came from.
Amen.
It can come from anywhere. It can come from our own head. It can come from our mind. It can come from deceiving spirits.
Amen.
It can come, I don't know, we just think these thoughts. And we have to know the written word of God. I cannot stress that enough.
That's right.
Not I think I know it. We have to know it. In context.
Yes.
Because we hear this stuff. People come to me all over. They get this dream, or they get this vision, or they get, you know, some words. They weren't written down. They try to remember them.
Hmm.
Well, you know, you get something a little off, and you're off.
Yes,
and
right.
You're,
right.
I don't know where, you know, you're off.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Holy Spirit has to reset the GPS and get you back on track.
Yep. Okay.
Right? Okay, so that is very, very important. Not what we think, not you know, oh, I had this experience. I can't stress the written word of God. Why did he bother to write it?
Yeah.
All right, well, I won't preach on that. Okay. Alright, so be obedient. Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus for a purpose. Before King Agrippa, Paul testified of his call, commission, and commandment from Jesus in Acts chapter 26, 16 through 19. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me, Jesus is speaking,
yes,
and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people, who were his people, the Jewish people, and from the Gentiles, they were all the people who weren't Jewish. We're all, most of us are lumped into all those people who weren't Jewish. Okay. To whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now, how did Saul of Tarsus figure that out? Because as a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and being highly educated and all like that in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, when he encounters Jesus, his encounter, he knew those scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
He knew. And then he was not disobedient. Right away coming out from him was, oh, well, I don't know if it's, oh, wow, I'm just saying that. Oh, wow, you are the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Like Peter proclaimed, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What do you want me to do? Saul moved right to what is the obedience. He knew the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to question. He knew it. He knew what was going on. And then the promise of God, or I sometimes call it the commitment of God, what God is willing to do. I call it the I will statement of God. In the Great Commission, for example, the I will statement is, and I will be with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I will be with you.
Uh-huh.
That's the I will. And you don't go until you get that. You just wait.
Right.
You wait till all four elements are there. I'm not getting on a plane, or I'm not doing, even when I speak, I just, like this. Unless I have the sending of the Lord, I have to be sent.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed up.
Amen.
That's the way I work.
Amen.
All right. So the promise of God. I will show him, Paul, how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Did Paul suffer? Read his life. Look up the scriptures of his life. He did. But he didn't mind. He wanted to know Jesus and the power of Jesus' resurrection and the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
He wanted to know the fellowship of Jesus' suffering. That's, what is that? That's when we get a little taste, I call it. We get an essence of it.
Mm.
We just get an essence. And it's not all the time. Like, sometimes it's long, but we're just getting an essence of what Jesus experienced. It can be anything from how we're treated, being rejected, being, I don't know, all kinds of experiences. But if we think about Jesus Christ and his life, and we recognize that he's not just Superman, he's not the buddy on the end of your bed, as I've heard some say. He's not just, I don't know, today they're diminishing who Jesus is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He is the infinite God-man.
Yes.
He is God, as though he were not man. He is man, fully man, as though he were not God. Fully God. I have to use one hand on both. Fully God, fully man. Pray that you don't diminish him. And you that are pastors, I got to get this in here because I just have to. And I was happy today about the offering part because I'm telling you, pastors, if you have been called by Jesus Christ, you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the gospel of money.
All right.
You were called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Awesome. I'm not sharing that word today, but I have had words from the Holy Spirit that he's pretty much had it with that. Preaching the gospel of money.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
my, my, my.
God in heaven.
No, you preach it when I'm some other time. You preach it.
Yeah.
You gotta preach that. gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then the promise.
Mm-hmm.
I will appear to you.
Yes.
Whoa. I will deliver you from your people and from the Gentiles.
From the Gentiles, come on.
Paul did not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain, empty of power. Salvation comes by grace through faith in the promised one.
Yes.
By grace through faith. It's a gift.
Amen.
It's a gift.
Amen.
The grace is a gift. The faith is a gift. Repentance is a gift.
Yes.
It's all a gift. Having our sins forgiven is a gift.
Amen.
There it is.
But it's costly because Jesus paid.
Paid that one. Yes.
Jesus paid in our behalf. So don't let anybody mock it, diminish it. I don't know what else they do. They reject it. Well, the word speaks to that too. I don't know if I should say because of the authority on me. Anyway, my daughter says, "Watch your words, mommy. Watch your words." All right. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. That is from Romans 4.
Yes.
Do not frustrate the grace of God. Salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the promised one, the Messiah, and not by law. Not by law keeping.
Amen.
Some people put it. Not by law keeping.
Mm-hmm.
That is the message of Galatians. And also in the book of Hebrews, everything is better. This is a short version of Hebrews. Everything is better in the new covenant in Christ's blood.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I like that, huh? Paul understood the good news that Jesus was sent by the Father to save. Jesus lived a life of obedience actively. A son of the law. He became a son of the law when he was 12. You know, he goes to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, he becomes a son of the law. For himself? No, he's lawgiver, king, and judge.
Mm-hmm.
He became a son of the law on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he kept and fulfilled all righteousness.
Yeah.
He died on the cross, bearing the curse, bearing the penalty for sin, bearing the wrath of God, bearing the glory of God.
Mm.
He rose from the dead as proof that the Father accepted the offering of his life. He offered up his life.
Yes.
It was a once-for-all time offering, not a once-for-all people.
Mm.
Once-for-all time, the context says that the offering never had to be repeated.
Mm-hmm.
It's a once-for-all time offering. Jesus is alive. Paul testified to what he heard and saw. Jesus Christ is alive.
Amen.
Forever.
Right. Paul had his encounter. He saw the risen Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Radiant light, radiant glory. In Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for all true believers are all one in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
We are one in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
What makes us one?
Jesus.
Christ,
the blood.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dr. Clinton. See, when we met, do I have time to tell this?
Yes.
Yes, he would like to hear it. When Dr. Clanton and I met, I just have to say, I'm going to say this straight out. We met in a communications class that was all about race.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody remember that? And the professor was a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just saying, you know, she was witchy. I mean, she was a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing they give out to you is your syllabus. Had satanic symbols all through it.
My God.
Wow. And so when I got the syllable and I'm going through it and I cut out all those satanic symbols and I came back with a holy and mine had a lot of holes. But it was better than what?
My.
And it was embarrassing because, see, I could call her Jackie. We met like 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We won't tell you how old we are. I am older than she is. All right. So, but, and I'm like a, kind of adopted by her family.
That's all right.
I don't really have a family.
That's all right.
Oh, that's all right. Okay. Our family is so small. It's very small now. But anyway, so we met, and who put us together? The Holy Spirit put us together. The Holy Spirit put us together. And we've gone through life, our lives, together. For 30 years, for like 30 years.
My.
Wow. So watch out that the two of us pray together. And we've gone through a lot of things, haven't we? Yes. So, just wanted you to know, so you know why sometimes I call her Jackie. She calls me Mary. But we both have our doctorates now, so look at what God has done. Let's see, where am I here? We are one in Christ Jesus. Paul was transformed by the electing grace of God, called to be an apostle, called, anointed by the Holy Spirit, and sent on a mission with a message. The just one would speak to him. Jesus Christ is the just one, the promised Messiah, the Holy One of Israel. Jesus is that Holy One and just. Now, this is from Habakkuk 2:4. It goes back, see, did I get into this at all? Is because Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verse 4, it talks about the vision, Habakkuk getting a vision. The vision is words. God is speaking. The just one shall live by my faith. Who's speaking?
God.
Yeah. Who's the just one?
Jesus.
Yes. The just one shall live by my faith. God's faith. God's faith. Jesus Christ is God. And it also says in Habakkuk, by the faith of me, God speaking, and by the faithfulness also, the faithfulness of God. So it's going to run over in 1 Thess 5 and say, the one who calls you is faithful, full of faith, who also will do it. Jesus is the Holy One and just. Paul will be a witness of all he has seen and heard. He is considered by theologians as the greatest theologian, missionary, evangelist, pastor, and man transformed by grace.
Mm-hmm.
He will speak of the just one. He sets forth in Romans who are just, in Galatians, how we live, and we don't know the author of Hebrews, but the author of Hebrews is going to go through the by faith part. Okay. Paul will know nothing but Christ crucified, preaching and teaching and exhorting the atoning work of Christ, who lived a perfect life of obedience to God his Father. All right. And Paul will fight the good fight of faith to the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ is that just one. He is the promised one who came into this world, sent by his Father to save a people for himself. In Nazareth, Jesus stood up in the synagogue to say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Because, or which, is either which has anointed me or because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Every human being is poor.
Amen.
And I'm not talking money.
Right. Amen.
We're poor because we don't have the, when we're not saved, we don't have the riches of God's glory.
Right.
We don't have the true riches. We don't have any of, I don't know. I wonder how people without Jesus Christ even make it.
Amen.
I really do.
It's impossible.
It just, well, they go around like zombies. But, you know, they're walking dead.
I believe.
All right. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me.
That's right.
To heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. That's the opening the eyes of the blind part.
Mm-hmm.
To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the time of favor with God.
Mm-hmm.
First the kingdom comes in grace.
Yes.
The next time the kingdom comes is in power and great glory.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the second coming of Christ, but those words don't really appear in the Word of God. That Jesus Christ is coming again, and when he comes again, he's coming in power and great glory. You think it's going to be old happy days?
Mm-hmm.
Right. The day of the Lord is a day of judgment.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
So, here's my prayer. May the living God open our eyes to see the glory of Christ in all his fullness and be gracious to us, to open our hearts and our minds to him and his word, celebrate his coming. He is coming again. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.